Without Farm Bureau, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, other state farm bureaus across the country, and the American Farm Bureau Federation, hemp would not have been removed from the Substances Act. We still would be behind. It has been huge lobbying efforts from our members from other states at AFBF, talking with members of Congress, talking through this issue where basically, even as soon as just a few years ago, many members of Congress still said hemp is marijuana and they made no distinction.
Industrial hemp.
Hello and welcome back to the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast, episode 23. My name is Eric Herlock. I am your host. I am also the digital editor at Lancaster Farming Newspaper. And on today's show, we talk to Mark O'Neill and Bill Nielsen from the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. It's a fascinating interview. I learned a whole lot about Farm Bureau and their take on industrial hemp, and I believe you will too. And be sure to stick around after the interview. I've got some announcements to make, and I will be responding to a few listener emails. So lots of good stuff. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get into it with the PA Farm Bureau. You may have noticed that our podcast is growing in popularity. Our audience is growing too. If you would like to reach our audience with your message, we have sponsorship opportunities available for you. So just get in touch. Send an email to podcast@lancasterfarming.com or call our sales rep, David Erickson, at 717-721-4435. Okay, back to the show. Good morning, Mark and Bill. I wonder if you could introduce yourselves for us for the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast.
Sure. Mark O'Neill. I'm the Media and Strategic Communications Director with the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau.
And Bill Nielsen, and I'm Director of Commodities and Compliance Programs with the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau.
Okay. Well, welcome to you both. So today we're going to talk about industrial hemp. And let's first start with, you know, the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau's official stance on industrial hemp.
Sure, I can talk about that. The Pennsylvania Farm Bureau supports the production of industrial hemp and the marketing and sales of industrial hemp products. We have actually a kind of a long-standing policy going back more than two decades. We've been supporting hemp, and there's been, over the years, there's been, you know, rallies and discussions about hemp, and people always point out, oh, and by the way, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau supports this. Now, some of the people doing that were also supporting recreational marijuana even 20 years ago. So, that was something which we did not have. We don't have policy supporting, but certainly we've been behind this for a long time.
Okay. Has there been an evolution in thought on that, or you just think it's good for farmers, and you've been in that camp for a long time?
Well, certainly over the last few years, there's been more discussions about the potential benefit of it. And part of what we've done and other organizations have done has talked about how this is not the same as marijuana. And, Bill can talk about that too, but it's not the same. And certainly it should not be under the Controlled Substances Act, which, you know, the latest Farm Bill removed it from that. Right. And it can be a product that can be grown, can be beneficial, and was grown centuries ago and had a reason for it back then. So, you know, really the involvement has been, we've seen more opportunities to try to get to the finish line about this product.
Yeah, and it's a different variety of the same species of plant. So it's different from what marijuana would be as far as its chemical composition. And certainly the market is really ripe with opportunities in the future for products in fiber and seed from industrial hemp. So it's developing, it's evolving as we go along, and there is a considerable interest in the crop.
Okay, what kinds of questions are you getting from farmers who are curious about industrial hemp?
Bill, I'll let you handle that first.
Okay, I have visited a farm that is growing industrial hemp, and it's in the research stage at this time. So there's experimentation on how it's adapted to Pennsylvania, what varieties might be available, Are new varieties going to become available? Because most of it is grown in Canada. We get imports from other parts of the world right now. So we're experimenting with just how it works in Pennsylvania. And of course, the markets will have to be developed here shortly.
How do you see this crop helping, you know, the lives and livelihoods of farmers here in Pennsylvania?
Well, I look at it as there's just great potential. And I think that's part of, there is a great potential for this crop, but I don't think it's a get rich quick scheme. You know, it is something that, you know, part of the research idea in the last farm bill was to, you know, and this wasn't just Pennsylvania, you know, across the nation, was to see how does it grow? What areas will it grow at? What can you do with it? And then beyond that, you know, the production of different products and the marketing of those products. So it's, is there potential? What is the potential? And will there be consumers for these products in the future? And I said, like I said, I think there's great potential, and we don't want to do anything to put any roadblocks in the way. And we don't think that, you know, the state of Pennsylvania is doing that. Every permit application that I've heard has been gone in, has been approved so far. So there's going to be lots of opportunities, but people who are moving forward with this, farmers moving forward with this, have to make sure that you know, they have an end game. Who's the client? What are they going to do with the product? How are they going to make money down the line? So, right. You know, it can be unlimited potential. I know some people are extremely enthusiastic about this opportunity, and we just want to make sure that people aren't running into it without having a plan.
And just to put an economic perspective on that, whole crop, you know, and for the future, it's been estimated that there's $76 million worth of hemp imported into the United States annually. And that can be domestically produced rather than importing the product and be made into products that are retailed for about $688 million. So there's quite a potential here to the crop, which is what we're pursuing at this time.
Okay. And farmers have to consider what they're doing with their land. If they're going to grow hemp, then they're not going to be growing corn or soybeans or something else. So again, they're looking at it as, you know, what is going to be the best bang for the buck for me, as well as, you know, obviously being concerned about environmental issues and everything else. So they, you know, they want to make sure that if they make that investment, that they're going to be able to get something out of it. Also, you know, the you know, equipment, you know, in terms of harvesting hemp and things like that, there isn't necessarily a piece of equipment out there right now specifically made for that. And could there be an opportunity for innovation there? Certainly, we think so.
What do you think about putting industrial hemp in the rotation, you know, with the corn and the soy?
Oh, it definitely has a fit there. You know, it's a user of nitrogen fertilizer. And so if you rotate it with soybean crop, for instance, some of that nitrogen can be used from the soybean crop. And just building up the organic matter in the rotation, it's a grass type of a crop. There's, you know, what wheat would be. And that all fits nicely into a rotation with corn and soybeans.
How about as a livestock feed? I know it's not, I guess it's not completely legal yet to do that, but is there movement towards that, or does Farm Bureau support that?
I've heard one of our members was doing some research on that, and his perspective was being able to grow it. He wanted to know if he could grow it, feed it to his beef cattle, and to see if it would even change maybe how the beef marbled and things like that. I mean, he was looking at it from a number of different perspectives, so thinking of it as a feed. But again, that's something where he wanted to do research to find out. And part of it was, well, you know, if he did that, one, he wouldn't have been able to sell the beef to anybody, you know, because the FDA rules and so forth. And again, I think part of this, it's important that a lot of these, there's going to have to be government rules and regulations as part of this as well. There's going to be things you can do, things you can't do. And I think that's going to be a work in progress. But that's, again, that's part of the research of trying different things. And I couldn't see of any issue or problem with seeing how that would work out, how it would you know, be applied on a farm, and whether it be, you know, other opportunities. And then you think about marketing. That's something we haven't talked a lot about, but obviously marketing a crop is part of selling it. And who knows, maybe this guy would say hemp raised beef, and that would be a huge thing. You never know. But, you know, those are things that I think we're going to find out about in the future as this, you know, as more is grown and more is utilized and gets out there.
Yeah, hemp would definitely have a nutrient profile that would be, could be used for feed for farm livestock, would have to be approved. But that's certainly a source, a market source there that may be open to hemp production.
Did you support the decision by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture to, you know, lift the acreage cap and sort of open it wide for producers?
Yeah, I mean, the general policy that we had was basically we were, you know, supported industrial hemp and supported having it removed from, you know, from the what we'll call the drug list, you know, the controlled substances list. And so there's, you know, from reading that policy, I don't think we'd have any issues with what the Department of Agriculture is doing. I mean, one of the things I guess they do have to look at for anyone applying for a permit is checking to see whether they had any illegal drug activity in their history within the last 10 years. Right. So that's one of the things that they're looking for. And again, we're supporting this as hemp, not as what is an illegal product here in Pennsylvania, recreational marijuana.
Right.
And, you know, the assumption with everyone moving forward in this whole conversation is that we're talking about producing and selling a legal product. And so from that standpoint, we don't have any objections to how the Department of Agriculture is handling this up to this point.
Okay.
And it really opens up the opportunities for your smaller producers to get involved if they so desire to see how hemp will work on their farms.
Do you see industrial hemp fitting into farm life from an environmental perspective? Is there any sort of, I've heard stories that maybe it's really good for the soil. It can remediate the soil. I've heard of people discussing using it as a barrier to catch runoff into streams, you know, like a riparian buffer. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know that there's a lot of research as far as environmental uses for hemp. You know, it has the root system and so forth that would hold the soils as other grasses would do. There might be some value in that respect, but I haven't heard much feedback on using it, you know, as an environmental purposed crop.
Okay.
And the feedback that we have received certainly has been thinking of it as a cash crop, as a means to generate income. Now, that doesn't, a lot of cash crops can also still be utilized and be good for the environment. You know, obviously, you know, we do a ton. We lead the nation. Pennsylvania leads the nation in no-till farming, as well as the use of cover crops. And obviously, there's huge environmental benefits to those practices.
Yep. What can Farm Bureau be doing now to help farmers who are interested in help, or what have they been doing, or what should you be doing?
Well, I'll start about what we have done, and I'll talk about what potentially we can do. One of the things we had to do is, and I don't think I'm overstating it, without Farm Bureau, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, other state farm bureaus across the country, and the American Farm Bureau Federation, hemp would not have been removed from the the Substances Act. We still would be behind. It has been huge lobbying efforts from our members from other states at AFBF, talking with members of Congress, talking through this issue where basically even as soon as just a few years ago, many members of Congress still said hemp is marijuana and they made no distinction. A lot of lobbying went through it. It was also helpful that the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, comes from Kentucky, which is the largest hemp state right now. Mm-hmm. That played a role certainly in getting this in the farm bill, but we have been working with, defending, promoting, motivating, and our members, you know, throughout the last few years in terms of really getting industrial hemp part of the farm bill and basically, you know, making it legal Removing it from the Controlled Substances Act.
And I might add just that the Department of Agriculture in Pennsylvania is a source for a wealth of information on what the market looks like for the future for hemp, you know, what needs to be done as far as growing it and the permits that are required to grow hemp at this time. So they would be a source of help for anyone interested in producing a crop of hemp.
Okay. Now, where do you see the market heading? I know there's a lot of talk now about CBD. What do you think about the fiber industry?
Yeah, I think I'll just jump in and let Bill talk about it. But the CBD, obviously, I think is like the most obvious and quickest use. And there is, you know, we're hearing the potential for profit is easy. You know, that's kind of the feedback we're getting is, the oil, there's already a market for the oil that already exists. The question is, you know, how much hemp can be grown and then how can it be, you know, processed, turned into the product and then available for sale. And we've also heard that just, I guess, seeds that you actually get from it can also be sold. Mm-hmm. The other stuff is, that's where we're hopeful for a lot more opportunities. But again, that may take maybe more time than you know, some people would like, you know, but to order and, you know, basically, where's the infrastructure? We need to create an infrastructure.
Yeah, that's the trick, right?
And we've had some feedback, too, that agricultural producers may be interested in setting up their own processing equipment to begin this whole process of making a product that would be available to the marketplace. We'll have to see where that develops, but there's over 25,000 uses for products that are made from hemp. And mentioned earlier that a lot of this is imported right now at this point. So whether farmers begin that process or it just develops as more hemp is being grown, once the industry sees that we have a good base to produce hemp, it may just foster more development of the market.
Now, some states like Georgia and South Dakota seem to be resistant to industrial hemp. I don't imagine it's the farmers. I think it's more the politicians. But do you think that leaves their farmers at a disadvantage?
Well, I guess if they want to grow it and the conditions are there to grow it, you know, and again, there are different states with different issues always have obstacles. And a lot of times they can be political. I think, you know, part of it could be that maybe those places have not, without knowing the background, maybe they still equate hemp to marijuana much more closely. Mm-hmm. I think that's been one of the biggest advances we've had in the last 5 years is getting the word out that hemp is not marijuana. Yes, they're from the same plant species, but they're not the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can get yourself 500 hemp joints and smoke them, and I still don't know that you're going to get any type of high from it. And that's, you know, that is the, you know, the big difference. And I think that, you know, they're potentially, some of those places may not be making as big a distinction as I think we are here in the Northeast. And I think as we've done nationwide, and like I said, I think that progress, there's been a big movement on that in the last 5 years. And once again, I think our farmers and farmers across the country have played a role in that.
And I think it's an educational effort that needs to be engaged with the public, that they understand, as Mark had mentioned, that it's a different variety of the same species, and it's not the one that contains the psychoactive drug. So that case needs to be made, but I think that if they draw back and don't really promote the production of hemp, why it could be something that their farmers may miss out on as far as an additional enterprise for income.
So there seems to be lots of movement here in Pennsylvania. Is Farm Bureau actively involved in, you know, working with producers to build some kind of processing facility?
Typically, we don't necessarily get that far into a what we do is, you know, we're providing our members you know, information. Sometimes we have access to research through partnerships with other people, and you know, even with the at the American Farm Bureau level, depending on how far this goes, you know, sometimes we hold informational meetings when we get new information, but we don't necessarily become business partners. You know, if there becomes opportunities where if there's a, you know, someone introduces a piece of legislation saying there's could be state money used or grant money used to help build a processing facility, certainly we would evaluate that. And if we felt that was good for farmers, we would be very supportive of that. But, you know, we're not in the in the position where we're, you know, scouting locations and sure. building plans and stuff yeah. like that. That's kind of beyond what Farm Bureau is about.
Okay. What can farmers be doing now to get ready for growing industrial hemp? You know, what advice do you have for, you know, new hemp farmers?
Well, I would first of all want to have these producers look to the future as far as buyers are concerned of the crop. And to keep that in mind as to the amount of acreage that they devote to industrial hemp. And that definitely needs to be built and improved and expanded as far as the market opportunities are concerned. So that's one of the first things I would have producers look at.
So maybe with industrial hemp, we're getting new farmers involved in agriculture in the state, and maybe they're not familiar with Farm Bureau. What's the best way for them to get involved with your organization?
Well, certainly the quickest way would be to contact us at our headquarters in Camp Hill. I can provide numbers if you like, 717-761-2740. And just ask for membership. Our website has tons of information about us and how to join, www.pfb.com. But what we're going to direct our farmers to then is to get involved in their county farm bureau. And typically, we have 54 county farm bureaus that cover all 67 counties in the state. So okay. you have some that are multiple county farm bureaus. But to really get involved is to, you join as a member of a county farm bureau that you live in, and then you go to meetings, talk to people, learn about issues. And then there's also the opportunity to get involved in our policy development process, trying to, let's say, maybe there's some direction that our members want us to take with hemp moving forward. Recommendations can be made, and they can go to the state and our state annual meeting. And if it's something that, you know, the majority of farmers across the state think is a great idea, they could potentially pass policy and then have us, you know, move forward and try to make those policies realities. So there is a great opportunities there. And certainly, we represent farms of all sizes, all commodities across the state. And with something like an emerging issue like hemp, we want to hear from people interested in it and their plans and how to move forward and ideas that they have to help it prosper in the future.
Yes, and I just would add that the website for Pennsylvania Farm Bureau is easy to use as far as membership is concerned. And using the number that Mark mentioned, we'll be more than happy to explain details to any producer that would call in here interested in membership.
Okay, great. Well, gentlemen, any final thoughts on industrial hemp or Farm Bureau's role in its return?
The only thing I would do is kind of reiterate the point that, we are excited about the opportunity. We know there are a lot of people here in Pennsylvania excited about the opportunities. We just want to make sure that they do all kinds of research. And we're not just talking about researching how to grow, but to look and have realistic plans on what they'd like to do, who they might want to partner with, what are they going to do with the crop if they grow it, think about infrastructure and things like that. Because the one thing you don't want to do is grow a beautiful crop and have no one to sell it to. One of the things when we are involved, some of our farmers talking to them, you see around Pennsylvania, there's few farmers growing hops, for beer, because, craft beer production is obviously very big here in Pennsylvania. And part of the concept was the growers of the hops, they had their clients before they ever tried to grow anything. They weren't going to just because there's so many different varieties of hops. You want to make sure that you have someone to buy it and that you are growing what they want.
Right.
So the suggestion there was making sure that, you know, basically you were growing something that was going to be purchased. A lot of them had sales agreements already worked out before anything was even planted. So that's one way to try to deal with some of the uncertainty that could be involved with hemp as well.
Okay.
But I would add, with the potential demand and the amount that the United States imports right now of hemp to make into products, the market is there. And I think producers interested in producing a crop of hemp just really have to reach out to sources like the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, get some details, development of markets that may be coming in the very near future, and get on board with that, you know, because it's going to change as we go into the future here, and it may change quickly. But Mark is correct at this point where the market is not really identified. We need to have that developed before a producer would devote large acreages to growing industrial hemp.
Okay. Well, Bill Nielsen, Mark O'Neill, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, forging ahead in the world of industrial hemp. And if you want more information on Farm Bureau, their website is pfb.com. All right. Just going to let the music play a little bit. This is my favorite part right here. Yeah, it's like surf guitar. Anyway, as I said in the intro, I have some announcements to make, and also I want to respond to a few of the listener emails. So you know you can always send me an email at podcast@lancasterfarming.com. I do appreciate your comments and your questions and your feedback on the show. I've learned a lot from all of you who've written to me. So Martha from Harrisburg is looking for a way to become a participant in growing this industry in Pennsylvania. Do I happen to know if there are any conferences, talks, or events on hemp in the region anytime soon that she could attend? Well, not super locally, no. The closest thing is one coming up in June in Albany, New York. A quick Google search will show you those. However, Lancaster Farming is now in the planning stages of hosting our own industrial hemp Q&A session with, you know, local business leaders and farmers and experts and whatnot. So check the paper for that, and also I'll mention it here on the podcast. And a longtime Lancaster Farming reader named Vertus, he wrote to ask if we ever do transcripts to these episodes. And while, yes, I would love to provide a transcript for every episode, I just don't have the time to do all that right now because, you know, there's a lot of work to edit and publish that. And I'm sorry if that sounds like a cop-out. It's just that I have so much work to do at this point. But yes, that's on my list of goals for the podcast, is to provide transcripts. Because like he said in his email, sometimes you just want to read it. You don't want to sit around and listen to people talking. I get it. So hopefully I'll be able to provide those in the future. Great question, though, and I appreciate that feedback. Okay, moving on to announcements. Well, actually, I don't know if this is an announcement or if this is still feedback. Maybe it's both. Anyway, you remember a couple of weeks ago we had an episode with Jay, the guy who makes the bug-out guitars and ukuleles out of hemp. Well, I got a call from an old-timer in Maryland. Here, let me just play his voicemail.
Hi, Eric Herlock. My name is Harold Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N. I'm in Maryland, but I have farms in Pennsylvania, and I, next to the Bible, I read the Lancaster Farming more than anything else. You had an article about a man who makes hemp guitars and ukuleles out of hemp. And I would be very interested in getting one of these if it's possible. I have a very dear friend who teaches a huge ukulele class in South Florida. He has as many as, believe it or not, he has to use a great big hall. He has as many as 400 people all playing guitar ukuleles together. Some are beginners, some are very accomplished. And if he had a ukulele made out of hemp, he would have something that he doesn't have now. So if you can get back to me again, I would appreciate it no end. Thank you very, very much.
Right. So Harold from Maryland, I called him back and I talked to him. He's a very sweet guy. And yeah, he's got this friend in Florida who teaches his class. And so I put him in touch with Jay, who makes the hemp ukuleles. Now, Jay, that's his livelihood. And he puts, you know, a lot of time into making these instruments. And so it turns out that Jay's price was slightly higher than what Harold thought he would get it for. So I assume Harold's on a fixed income. So this might not be the right place to do this, but I'm going to try it anyway. And I'm sure you all will let me know if I'm doing something wrong here. But I thought, what if we raise the money to buy the hemp ukulele for Harold to give to his friend in Florida who teaches the ukulele class? You think we can do that? I think we can. So if you're up for it, visit gofundme.com/hempukulele and let's try to do this. Let's come together as the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast community and let's connect some people. Imagine that. It'll connect Vermont to Maryland to Florida, up and down the East Coast. So anyway, that's kind of neat, and I'm excited about that. I hope you all don't mind it so much. If it's too much, let me know, and I won't bring it up again. But you might hear it from time to time if I don't get any negative feedback. Okay, and now I guess this is an announcement. So I am planning on doing a show about CBD and sort of the anecdotal evidence of its health benefits. And now this is where you come in. I want to hear from you, not just on the email. In fact, I would prefer if you were to call my office phone and leave me a message. If you have had success or not success with using CBD to, I don't know, alleviate pain or seizures or whatever, call me up, tell me your name. You don't have to give me too much information. First name is fine, and your location. And then tell me your story. I'd like to hear it. And then at some point, we'll put all that together into a podcast episode about anecdotal evidence of the benefits of CBD. Okay? Oh, right. You need to know the phone number. Sure. Call and leave me a message at 717-721-4462. Okay, so I think that brings us to the end of episode 23. I hope you enjoyed it. Let's see, let's recap. Farm Bureau, Pennsylvania, Industrial Hemp.
Industrial Hemp.
Reader emails, hemp ukulele, CBD stories. Yeah, that pretty much does it. So, okay, thank you all for listening to today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed making it. Remember, if you're on iTunes, click subscribe so you never miss an episode, and also write us a review, leave us some kind of feedback. Anyway, my name is Eric Herlock. I'm the digital editor at Lancaster Farming Newspaper, the greatest agricultural newspaper in the world. Get a subscription if you don't already have one. Okay, so until next time, I'll see you in the newspaper.